Welcome to Inside Forbes Middle East, your podcast for the biggest stories shaping business, technology, and leadership across the region and beyond. I'm your host, Sally Musa, and today we're diving into the March 2025 issue of Forbes Middle East. And let me tell you, it is packed with bold ideas, billion-dollar moves, and breakthrough leaders as we spotlight our FinTech 50 and our top 40 asset managers in the region. And to take us through all of this and so much more, it is great to be back in the studio with our managing editor for Forbes Middle East, Claudine Coletti. So good to have you. Hello, hello, and welcome back. Now, this really is one of our most packed issues to date, isn't it, Claudine?
It is. There is so much data in this issue. I mean, it'll probably take you the rest of the year to get all the way through it.
I love it. I love it. You actually start this edition with a personal insight where you talk about the fact that we haven't been, probably most of us, haven't been inside a physical bank in I don't know how many years. And I thought about it. I was like, that is so true. Everything is done on the app, online.
Absolutely. And I mean, the physical branches are shutting down all over the place. Even I actually would not know where to go if I needed to go into a physical branch. I'd have to Google it.
It just goes to show us this is why the FinTech 50 is such a crucial list for us, more so now than ever before, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think we even know how payments are also things that have changed completely. I barely get my card out anymore, let alone actual cash. It's completely changed how we live. It's completely changed how we bank. It's completely changed how we live our lives. And it's happened, it seems so seamlessly, so organically, like we've barely even noticed. But now if you took our phones away, How would we get by?
Exactly. And it's no surprise. I feel like we're so digital here that the UAE ranks 8th in the world. That was of 2023 for mobile POS payments with 22.4% penetration. And Saudi Arabia came in 5th with 23.6%. And so when we're looking at the FinTech 50 list this year, Claudine, what is it that really stood out for you?
There are a few things. I mean, FinTech is absolutely, it's exploding, it's leading. It made up for 30% of startup funding last year. There were 119 FinTech startups. They raised around $700 million in capital, which is, I mean, it's huge. 30%, can you imagine?
Incredible.
That's just massive. What I love about this list in particular, we have 12 newcomers on this list, which for a list of 50 is considerable. And there are four that I particularly wanted to mention. One is Iand Money, just because it's new to the list and it's in the top 10. I mean, that's
huge.
That's a big deal. It's the fintech arm of Iand, which is now a technology company, not a telecoms company anymore, a technology company. And I think they've got like 1.5 million subscribers and 2.5 million downloads. It's been 6 years, but it's a big deal to be in the top 10 on your first outing. The other three, and I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
The other three is Coinmina, which is a crypto platform. They saw 430% increase in trading volume in 1 year. We have Zena, which is a payments platform. They had a funding round of $2 million in September. And Pimo, which had a $7 million funding round in November. The reason why I'm so excited is that those last three all have a female co-founder.
That's incredible.
So not only are they new to the list, but we have three new female tech founders being recognized by Forbes Middle East.
That is really amazing.
That's huge. I feel like we need confetti cannons.
I know, we do. And this is the thing, you know, it's still rare to see women in fintech these days. And so it's exciting to see that they're coming up and they are leading there. And the 50 that we're looking at here, even in the region, they've secured $3.8 billion in funding and processed $240 billion in transactions. It's incredible to think about those figures. And in fact, one of our cover stars, Jayesh Patel, the CEO of Awiyo Bank, the only independent digital bank on the list this year, he's been overseeing the UAE-based Neo Bank. I need you to explain what that means for us. growing a balance sheet to $10 billion in just 2.5 years.
I don't know what to say about that. 2.5 years, it's less than 3 years old. 10 billion is ridiculous. And Neobank has no physical branches. It's purely digital. And I mean, these have been growing globally for like the last decade. There are some huge players out there like Revolut in the UK and Nubank in South America. I mean, there's so many. WIO hit the UAE. It is only available in the UAE at the moment, but hit the UAE 2.5 years ago. I was really quite looking forward to speaking to Jayesh. This is my exclusive. Because I remember when WIO came on the scene, because all of my friends started talking about it. They offered like a 6% interest rate when they first started, which is not a teaser campaign. It's just interest rates were higher that year. And all my friends started talking about them. And now it just seems like most people I know are using WIO. So I was like, let's talk to the guy behind it. What they've achieved is amazing. In that short amount of time, they've got about nearly 100,000, between 90 and 100,000 SME customers, and between 140,000, 150,000 individual customers. And around 140,000 of those, according to the CEO, came on board last year alone.
That is so interesting because they're a new bank. You know, 2.5 years is nothing in the banking world. You know, we always think about the legacy banks. Those who have been around the longest are the ones that people tend to trust and go for. What did you see in terms of their success? What's behind it, Claudine?
Trust is a big thing, obviously, but they've got big stakeholders like ADQ, and I mean they're backed by very, very big trustworthy people. I also think in general, we as consumers are becoming a lot more trusting of digital players, and word of mouth counts for a lot. So you know, you get a lot of customers in. They like what they see. They enjoy your platform. They tell their friends about it. Friends like me, I hear them go on to explore it. So it counts for a lot. They're also offering, I don't want to turn this into a bit of an app, but they're offering great services. So, I mean, it's a banking app, obviously. There's also investments. It's very easy to move money from one to the other. They offer cash back on payments. They have a single card for credit and debit. It's just all very easy and simple and all in one place. That attracts people.
Yeah, it sounds like they really understand what the customer wants.
Yeah.
And that is a really big thing. And I love that you have an exclusive with Jayesh in the magazine. So everybody can read about his journey, WIO Bank's journey, in the magazine in detail. Now, in this edition, we also feature the top 40 asset managers of the region. And one of our cover stars of the Arabic edition is Rashid Sharif, the CEO of SNB Capital, at the region's largest asset manager.
Yes, they are the largest. They've got $63.7 billion assets under management, absolutely huge. What I find really interesting about Rashid is he started in his role in February 2021, but he actually took post with NCB Capital, which then 2 months later merged with Samba, and then formed SNB, the Saudi National Bank, and SNB Capital as one of its subsidiaries. So can you imagine, you're in post 2 months, and you're overseeing one of the biggest mergers the region's ever seen. I mean, what a starting journey.
It is amazing to think about. And not only that, you know, his leadership is really one in such a short period of time, is one where he's, you know, just weathered so many storms in management, in leadership, which is quite extraordinary. Obviously, this is 2021, is post-COVID. There was a lot of digital transformation happening. So there was a lot there. It really speaks to the power of resilience and to the power of his leadership in that time.
Absolutely. So, I mean, starting in 2021, like you say, it's post-COVID or really still during COVID for a lot of people. That had a big impact on the kind of figures that they were seeing. And obviously, they then had to considered, like, as things normalized, how that was going to affect their kind of profits and revenue. So one of the bigger strategies, and the strategy that he talks through in the story is how they decided they needed to become less reliant on market conditions. So, you know, they diversified into private equity, private debt, private real estate, obviously technology as well. Although, you know, with new players coming in all the time, that they're kind of setting up technology first, whereas you've got, although it's a new entity, they're working on older systems. So they're still having to have a bit of a digital transformation and kind of not catch up as such, but, you know, implement new updates as they come along. And that's part of what his focus is on for the future is technology. They've got a new external platform coming out that uses AI. Doesn't everyone?
You know, what's amazing to see that reading this here, talking about SNB Capital's being at the forefront of some of Saudi Arabia's biggest capital market transactions of the last year. There were several landmark deals, including Saudi Aramco's $12.3 billion secondary offering in June of last year. That was the largest secondary offering in the EMEA region since 2000. And then PIF's sale of 100 million shares in STC for $1.03 billion through accelerated book building as well. That was in November of 2024.
Absolutely. I mean, you just can't get away from the absolute powerhouse that is Saudi Arabia. They're actually, so it's the top 40 asset managers. 19 of them are actually based in Saudi, which, you know, that's nearly half the list. And it's home to the region's biggest stock exchanges. So, of course, but it's mammoth.
Saudi Arabia is absolutely the leader in the region when we're talking about economies and asset management as well. But when we're talking about MENA fintech funding, this is only poised to grow, isn't it, Claudine?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, last year did see a 42% dip overall in startup funding, but the MENA region still saw $2.3 billion raised by startups, which is fantastic.
Let's look at one of these areas, which is going to be a real focus when we're talking about investment in this region, and that is, of course, AI. We can't stop hearing about it. And when we're talking about Arab sovereign wealth funds, they're really going all in on this investment, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you cannot do anything without hearing about AI now. It's absolutely everywhere. We have humanoid robots coming, apparently. It's just, and so obviously sovereign wealth funds and companies are investing hardcore. We mentioned three in particular in this month's issue. So you have Saudi's public investment fund. I mean, that's already ginormous. It's got $925 billion assets under management. And actually last year it partnered with Google to create an AI hub in Saudi Arabia, which they think is going to increase GDP by $71 billion.
And then we've also got a $40 billion AI fund with Andreessen Horowitz and QIA. Qatar Investments is also backing companies like Databricks and Instabase, but the UAE is also getting in on the action.
Yes, it is, Mubadala, obviously. $302.4 billion assets under management, so a huge, huge, huge company. They formed MGX, which is a technology investment company, and so that's got G42 and Mubadala as founding partners, and, you know, designed purely to invest in these brand new technologies and new uses for AI. So really, really interesting things coming up.
It is really powerful. And, you know, we're hearing this talk of AI powered governments from the UAE. You know, this is something that is being invested in at every level here in the region. It is going to be a major player globally. This is the feeling that we're getting from these investments. But something else, another leaderboard that is in the magazine, is all about post-conflict economies here in the Middle East. And this is really interesting because, you know, we have a few economies which are recovering from war, from conflict. And here we talk about what is coming up for them. What are the opportunities that we can be looking out for?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very delicate kind of subject. There's obviously quite a few places in the Middle East at the moment that are dealing with conflict or recovering from decades of troubles. But I mean, we focus always on the positive and the opportunities that are coming up. We cover three particular in our issue this month. We look at Libya, Syria, and Lebanon. Libya in particular, I was fascinated to learn, is home to like 41% of Africa's oil reserves, which is absolutely massive.
It is extraordinary to think about that. I think that's a fact that very few people know or think about. The opportunities there are huge. It's Syria as well is one of those countries that we are looking at in this special feature as well. Of course, seeing incredible struggles in the past decade and a half, they could see growth of 30%. In a best case scenario. So we can only wait and see what happens there. But Lebanon still has a very difficult economic situation. But with a new president in place, we're optimistic, we're hopeful that things will get better there as well.
I hope so. I mean, we all have a lot of heart in Lebanon, right? I hope we really do. Good things are in Lebanon's future. And I mean, those numbers that you mentioned for Libya and Syria, they're especially, poignant when you think about how much they've lost. Over between 2011 and 2023, Syria's GDP contracted by 64%. So to think that it could now rebound by over 30%, that's a massive recovery. And it could mean the absolute world for the Syrian people and Syrian businesses.
That would be absolutely huge. And you know, as you were mentioning with Libya earlier, I think it's interesting for us here at Fuller's Middle East, because we are going to be going to Libya in May of this year. We are going to be having our first event, our first summit, the Building the Future Summit. And it's incredibly exciting because there are opportunities that are coming up there. And this is exactly what the summit is going to be about, showcasing those opportunities. We're going to be hearing from government officials at the highest levels. We're going to be hearing from entrepreneurs, from companies, from businesses there as well, and seeing the transformation that is coming through in Libya and beyond.
Exactly. I'm really excited. Obviously, yeah. I've not been to Libya before. I, as you say, it's an opportunity to build connections that are designed to give opportunities for the investors, but also to give a lifeline to Libya and to the many, many businesses and entrepreneurs in Libya that just need investment. And I mean, I know I mentioned earlier about the oil reserves. You know, the non-oil growth is also where it's at in Libya. And I think they're looking at that increasing by about 11%. So let's find out more. Let's go. Let's talk to them.
It's incredibly exciting and one that I'm definitely looking forward to. People are going to be going to our events website, which is ForbesMiddleEastEvents.com. You might see two different summits called Building the Future.
You will see two different summits called Building the Future.
So don't get confused. You might see it and you might be like, "What? Why is there one in Abu Dhabi and one in Libya?" Because there is one in Abu Dhabi and one in Libya. We're having two.
We are.
Which is amazing.
Why not?
Why not? Exactly. And it speaks to the number of opportunities that are here in the region, both in the UAE and in Africa, in North Africa as well. So incredibly exciting. So you can register for both. The registrations are already open for both of those. They are both in May. So we're going to be looking at that. But something else that is in the magazine, which I really love, this is something a little bit more glamorous. We have the highest paid actors of 2024.
Yes, this is just one of those lovely stories that you read and think, I went into the wrong industry.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. Yes, so we have a list of 20 of the highest paid actors of 2024. There's only three women on it, sadly. Their names you'll recognize, you know, Nicole Kidman, Scarlett Johansson, Mariska Hargitay. Number one is Dwayne Johnson, known as The Rock.
The Rock.
He made $88 million last year.
And it's not all from the movies.
It's not. I mean, a lot of these actors are making a lot from their back catalogues. So, you know, they do fantastic work. They sign some very, very good deals and they just continue making absolute fortunes forever.
And this is what they do when they're very clever about it, because, you know, of course, movie stardom, it gives you fame. And it's about these actors in particular who were on this list. It's about knowing how to turn that fame into further businesses and further income that can far surpass anything that they're actually getting from acting in movies themselves. It can be for anything from producing those movies. It can be for brand deals. Somebody that really stands out for me, and I feel like he's really mastered this area, is Ryan Reynolds. You know, when you think about Ryan Reynolds, he has a very unique and very specific sense of humor, and, you know, he's beloved around the world. And you know, he's really applied that to so many different businesses. So, for example, aviation, American Gin, that's Ryan's humor. He's brought that and bottled it, if you like, and really driven that brand forward. Mint Mobile, it's a mobile company that few people had heard of before. He decided to buy a stake into it, and then he became the marketing face. And then all of a sudden, it absolutely exploded to the point where in 2019, you know, when he took that stake in it, T-Mobile, they came along and they noticed and they bought Mint Mobile for $1.35 billion in 2023 after he had come and worked his magic. And, you know, it's amazing. It's incredible to see that kind of business savvy, you know, knowing how to take your own personal brand, how you do things the way that people love you to do them, and bring that to a brand, to a business, whether you buy a stake in a football club, the Welsh football club that he bought into as well. It's wild what they can do.
What's interesting as well is, like, I think his wife, Blake Lively, has also brought out her own beverage company. So it's they're working together as a team to become an extremely powerful family.
Everything. She's got a hair care line. You know, she's got a perfume, so many different things that they're bringing out. And this is how they are making their money. So much in this edition of Forbes Middle East this month, Claudine. And we're so excited to see it, all of these stories and so much more. We haven't even talked about half the stories.
No.
Scraping the surface.
Like I say, there's honestly so much data. This is like an encyclopedia of money.
It's for a reason. It really is. It really is. It's the best read, especially if you want to know what is going on in the region, in money. This is the place to be. The March 2025 edition of Forbes Middle East. It is out right now in Arabic and in English, in print and online. You can find it there, ForbesMiddleEast.com. What's happening next month?
Next month, we have our top real estate leaders.
We love it. We love to see it. And that is why we have the Building the Future Summits. Mm-hmm. So it all ties in together. We do things very purposely.
Almost like Wakanda, that
way. Imagine. So if you want to be at our summits, if you want to know what's going on, if you want to see the very latest, make sure you get onto our website. You follow us on all of our social media. It's all Forbes Middle East. And of course, for the events, we have a very specific website just for that, where you'll find all of the latest information on each and every single summit, how to register, even how to become a speaker. If you want to become a speaker, you can get in touch. I get that question all the time. How do I come and speak at the summit? That's how you come and speak at the summit. Get on the website. We have links for everything. So ForbesMiddleEastEvents.com. That is the place to be. Thank you so much for joining us for Inside Forbes Middle East. We'll see you again next time.